What's under the hood of that flashy renovation of the North American Free Trade Agreement? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The draft of NAFTA 2.0, first, so far, it's the U.S. and Mexico, but not yet Canada. Second, it's bullet points, not a fleshed-out document. Third, the U.S. Congress would have to approve. President Trump's administration calls it one of the most ambitious trade deals ever. Negotiators tackled issues that the original NAFTA negotiators never dreamed of when they created the freer trade zone 24 years ago. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has some details on those.
The preliminary deal with Mexico would settle some long simmering disputes. The section on car manufacturing has been getting a lot of attention. It says 75% of a vehicle would have to be made in North America to cross the border without U.S. tariffs. That's up from around 62%. Also, 40 to 45% of that vehicle would have to be made by workers paid at least $16 an hour. But the U.S.-Mexico agreement also broke new ground on digital trade, for example. It says customs duties could not be charged on digital products like ebooks and software. There are also intellectual property protections. Customs officials could stop products they thought were pirated or counterfeit. There's a separate section on agriculture specifying that tariffs on all agricultural products traded between the U.S. and Mexico will remain at zero. Negotiators are hoping to finalize the deal, ideally with Canada, by the end of this week.
Nancy, thank you. So now the U.S. and Mexico are turning to Canada, which might or might not be in the mood to sign on to this. Canada's foreign minister, Chrystia Freeland, visits Washington today. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on that.
Amid news of the U.S. and Mexico reaching a trade deal, Canada issued this statement, quote, "We will only sign a new NAFTA that is good for Canada and good for the middle class. Canada's signature is required," close quote. Laura Dawson directs the Canada Institute at the Woodrow Wilson Center.
We hear maybe Canada's going to be sidelined, and it's going to be a U.S.-Mexico deal, but I don't think Canada's returning to the table with that understanding. I think they're coming back looking to complete a trilateral deal.
She says trade representatives may have to address some historical sticking points between the two countries, like infrastructure investment, which country builds transcontinental pipelines, and also tariffs in the dairy industry. But Clifford Sosno, an Ottawa-based partner with the Canadian law firm Fasken, says they could just leave those contentious issues off the table for now.
If Canada is prepared to say we're not interested in that anymore, and the U.S. is prepared to say we aren't either, then maybe you could have a deal.
But if infrastructure, dairy, and automobiles are part of the discussion, he says any NAFTA deal with all three countries on board is a long way away. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Checking my live market screens, the FTSE 100 in London is up 0.4%. Dow and S&P futures are up by less than 0.1% each. The Turkish currency, the lira, is sagging again this morning. A dollar buys 6.2. A famous toy store is coming back to New York City in a new form. FAO Schwarz had closed 3 years ago, but a California company called 360 Group had bought the brand and for months has been working on plans to reopen. Word now is grand opening will be in November at Rockefeller Center. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the new FAO Schwarz will try to provide an experience with magicians and staffers in costumes rather than Toys R Us style clerks. If you ever saw the movie Big with Tom Hanks, that was the store. We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. Now to a story about why your school or community theater might have to hold a lot of bake sales to keep T-Mobile happy. Some years ago, the federal government raised money by auctioning off some radio frequencies. The unintended consequence, a lot of expensive wireless microphones they use on stage may no longer work. Reporter David Zweig writes about this in Wired magazine. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This starts with the Federal Communications Commission. Anybody just doesn't get to take radio frequency. It gets auctioned off.
And our government decides which devices, which types of use, and even which specific companies get to use which frequencies in that spectrum.
And that's a limited resource. So in certain cases, it gets auctioned off to the high bidder. And you've drawn a connection between the world of mobile phones and school theater?
Yeah, most of the wireless microphones in our country operate in what's known as the 600 megahertz band. And a number of years ago, the FCC, under direction of Congress, where they slipped it into that tax bill in 2012, giving them authorization to auction this off for broadband specifically.
Except someone was using that frequency.
That's right. And the large user were wireless microphones. But one of the biggest uses that people probably don't think of is theater. And specifically when you think about community theater or high school theaters.
So wait, so the local production of It's Always Going to Be Annie, and everyone's got the headset mic, so they're little Taylor Swifts, they might not be able to use that equipment anymore.
So I got tipped off to the issue because my kids are in a theater program, and the director of the program sent out sort of this panicked email saying, we need to raise about $16,000 to get new microphones. Otherwise, we run the risk of the microphones not working at upcoming performances.
Who bought the frequency? It's a company.
Right. T-Mobile spent around $8 billion, with a B, dollars on the spectrum in the auction. And there are a few other players. And they have until July of 2020. But T-Mobile and the other winners are actually allowed to move into their new frequency homes whenever they want. So no one knows at any given moment if their mics are going to be interfered with. And all of a sudden, you know, a little girl is going to open her mouth. And instead of somewhere over the rainbow, you're going to be hit with, you know, just a wall of static.
So what about the place where you got the letter from? Have they reached their goal?
They did reach their goal. But there's only X amount of dollars to go around. And when the government is forcing you to buy new equipment, that's a problem. And the bill I totaled is going to be at least $100 million. And it's something that, as far as I'm aware, no one is talking about.
David Zweig wrote the piece for Wired magazine, The Strange David and Goliath Saga of Radio Frequencies. David, thank you.
Thank you.
One wireless pack for your belt without the mic itself can easily be hundreds of dollars. And when you do musicals instead of waiting for Godot, you need a bunch of them. Yes, I know. When you were in theater, you were taught to just project. When I played Petruchio in Kiss Me, Kate, I projected just fine. I just couldn't sing at all. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.